Hey everybody, my name is Jimmy Pardo, and here is how I say this word, buttholes.
Hello, and welcome to Andrea Savage, a grown-up woman, hashtag buttholes. I'm joined here by my... I can't call him trusty friend because we don't know each other well enough.
You can, though. I'll allow it. I mean, have I done anything? I mean, other than I have no stories.
Other than you have no stories and are adding, I still am not sure what you're adding. Mm-hmm. Other than that, you seem lovely. But I would say, you know, at the end of the season, I think you and I will look at each other and honestly decide whether or not we think we have achieved friend status.
Yeah, all right.
We're staring at each other, weirdly awkwardly in each other's eyes right now, right?
A little bit, yeah.
Like I'm extended eye contact that's still not broken.
Uh-huh, like real friends do.
I don't look at my friend.
No, you looked away.
I looked away. I also just caveat, I wear contacts. I needed to blank.
Me too.
Oh, fuck you. Okay, so you won. We just had very extended, uncomfortable eye contact. I don't look at my friends that long. I don't look at anyone as long as we just looked at each other.
Yeah, I don't know. Your hair looks nice. Oh, thank you so much.
It's very done.
Your hair, you just... Yeah, I see what you're doing.
That actually wasn't. Uh-huh, I actually was looking at your hair. But I did get my hair cut
today.
And
it also looks nice.
You know who's coming in today?
I do. James Pardo.
And part of... I mean, a large reason why you're even here and why we're even trying this new relationship is because of James Pardo.
Is that true?
Yeah, because your name had been given to me from Chris Hardwick, from Katie.
Yes, I knew that.
And then I knew that Jimmy knew you as well. So when mm-hmm. I was doing my, you know, due diligence, I called Jimmy and he said lovely things about you, which I'm sure he will not admit.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
Because... he's an animal.
Mm-hmm.
I love Jimmy Pardo.
I do too.
And I love doing his Never Not Funny podcast.
As do I.
How much yelling at you do you think's going to happen?
Between the two of you?
Yes.
Probably a lot.
Do you think you should get an Uber for the way home because you're going to need some drinks before? You can get in the car because you'll be shaken?
I mean, I think, you know, I've received it from Jimmy plenty of times. I'm already catching on to how I'm getting treated by you.
But and also just maybe bring more to the table. You know what I mean?
Touche.
Thank you. Is there anything you know about Jimmy that we can hold against him? Anything like...
Oh, I hit a soft... The last time I did Never Not Funny, I kind of hit a soft spot of... He filmed a scene for Dreamgirls and was cut out.
Oh, I have that on my list of things to talk mm-hmm. about, and I am going to get.
I mean, he'll talk about it, but you know, obviously not an exciting thing for him.
Oh, I literally have that written down on my little research.
Yeah.
I'm thrilled to have Jimmy Pardo. So sit back and enjoy and see what happens, everybody. Please don't. Please forget that I just said every booty. I'm not thrilled about that. I have no excuse. Just let's all move on with our lives. Oh God.
Is that too cold?
Oh my God, it's horrible.
I'll turn it off.
It's the worst.
Well, it's warm in here.
You've experienced anything worse than
that? Can I just say?
Why are you recording this?
Because the moment you've walked into the house, you've had questions, thoughts. Oh, it's cold. Do you have Coke Zero? You're making fake phone calls. You asked if we had straws.
Anything to end your bit is what I'm trying to do.
I'll let you know, we've had much more important people here who've asked for nothing. Who bring their own water.
You offered a drink, asshole.
I did, and then it came into, do you have straws? Do you have Coke Zero? Like, it was a whole fucking to-do. Let me turn the air down for Grandpa Jim.
Jimmy, you were a couple minutes late, right?
Let me turn this off. Are we starting?
We have started.
Is it one of these where
yes.
you just, come on, man.
Listen, your fucking podcast.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the program.
We've already done that.
Well, I don't know that. I've been ordered to come into a glassed room.
Yeah.
And I don't know what's happening.
Listen, I did your podcast a couple days ago, right?
Yes.
For the third time.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. By the way, you know, and it hates me, I hate to admit it, I love doing your podcast. It's one of, if not my favorite podcast to go do.
Thank you. I don't know anybody that doesn't enjoy doing our podcast. We are. Oh, you do?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Who doesn't enjoy doing my podcast?
So many people.
You have to know that while I know you're doing a bit, part of me thinks there is somebody, and they would be out of their mind. People are honored when they are asked to do my podcast.
Honored?
Contrary to Variety magazine, I'm one of the people that started podcasting.
Oh.
Not the current crop of people.
I'll tell you what you are called. What is happening?
I'm listening to you talk.
I know, but what's happening in your
hands?
It's
an audio podcast. Nobody needs to know what I'm doing.
Okay.
those go over your ears.
Yeah. Yours, by the way, I know I've been on your podcast where I've spent a good 2 minutes trying to figure out.
Yeah, so why are you coming on my ass about it?
Because that's what you're here for.
Now, can I tell you something?
Venge.
You know the wonderful Paul Reiser?
Yes.
Paul Reiser, when he came on Never Not Funny, the...
He's second. One of the people who not a fan of
that's not true. He comes on. He's been on many, many times. He spent most of it with the earpiece like this.
Oh, I think you told me.
And then I went, and for the people listening, one of my earpieces is facing
out
so that you're not hearing anything. It's just a piece of plastic against that ear. So Paul did the first half hour with the headphones like this. And I finally noticed it. I go, Paul, what are you doing with your headphones? He goes, yeah, I thought it was a little quiet in there. I can't wait. How do you wear these damn things? I go, you turn it like this. And he's like, oh, yeah, much better. Much better. He's like, you're a gazillionaire. How do you not know how to use headphones?
He's not a young man.
He's not an old man either. He's very hip, very happening.
But I love Paul Reiser. I'm not going to get in an argument about how hip or happy.
Paul Reiser's with it. Let's not suggest he's not with it.
I'm not saying he's not
Seinfeld walking around, driving around in a jalopy, racing Jay Leno up and up Burbank Boulevard.
All right.
Reiser gets it.
I played Rob Reiser's love interest on something.
No, his name's Paul, so I hope hope that didn't affect anything on the set.
That may...
You know
that
what you did? You combined...
Rob Reiner
and Paul Reiser. Which, how talented would that human being be, by the way?
That person.
Wonderfully talented and funny.
I would make them my only podcast guest.
I wouldn't go out in public with anybody but that person. The combo of Rob Reiser? You don't spend time with Rob Reiser?
By the way, I think I also had a friend whose name was Rob Reiser back in the day.
You couldn't say day?
Nope.
Good Lord, I've never hated you more.
I don't think so.
And I love you every second you're awake.
Can I... Oh, James.
Yeah. See, Pardo. I'm positive.
Can I... Couple things. People don't just say you're one of the first podcast. Yeah. They call you one of the pioneers.
They do.
Of podcasting, because I do a little research. I'll let you know, I've done research for everyone who comes in.
Okay.
Not that much interesting stuff on you, Jimmy. So I hope you bring something. Wow. That really... Okay.
That's how we do it?
Yep. That's how we do it.
What if I didn't know you, and that's how you talk to me? What if I, like, that would be just like, why would somebody put up with this? This, like.
Well, this is the thing, and you're similar, I think, to me. If I'm really nice to you, know that I'm not going to say I dislike you, but I don't really care for you. Something's up.
Yeah.
My biggest show of affection is to be horribly mean. Mm-hmm. And I know that's not probably conducive to successful relationships or friendships. But that is how I show my love.
Okay. I just say, hey, I enjoy your company.
No, you don't. No? You can't even say that with a goddamn straight face.
Well, I was about to until you yelled at me.
No, but your lips were already quivering.
Okay.
Can I tell you, I'm going to tell you one positive thing when you walked into my house.
Yeah.
The way the light was hitting your face.
Yeah. Well,
your eyes.
Did they pop?
Popped.
You know what? I will say this about my oddly shaped head. I have, and this, I hate myself. Understand that. I was at the Ronnie James Dio hologram concert.
I don't know any of the words you just said.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, you know them separately maybe, but,
yeah.
It was at the Wiltern, and an old rocker chick. That's the best way to describe this woman. Who was on the Sunset Strip at the height of the 80s glam metal days.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She was behind the bar, and I went up to get my popcorn and diet soda because I don't drink.
Yes.
And she said, what was the word she used? It was, you have doomy eyes or something like that. And I said, it wasn't doomy, but it basically...
Doomy sounds negative.
Yeah, but it was like...
like she wanted to have sex with me is what she was getting at.
Wait.
And
like do space me.
Yeah. Oh, do me. Way you said it,
not
I was
do
like
me.
Do me. Like day, oh, no. Like the end of days is coming.
Yeah, but she didn't you say.
Can,
she
and
didn't
I can
say
see that in your eyes.
She no no. She's not
fuck the, me eyes.
The apocalypse is not near.
Bedroom eyes.
No, it wasn't bedroom. It was
suck me eyes.
It was words I've never heard in a
lick
sentence
me
before.
Eyes.
No, none of this is helpful.
I think it's fun.
Yeah, you again. I'll overuse my own joke. You may want to Google the word fun.
You want me to look that up for you, guys?
Can you Google the word fun?
She
for
did
me?
Tell me ahead of time. I can feel free to look stuff up.
Okay,
so.
We'll start with fun then and see if her face is anywhere near it. Anyway, this woman who's been around, she saw my eyes and wanted it.
I'm the one who just, I do think you have gorgeous eyes and the way the light hit. I'm not sure this 80s rocker chick is that discerning. It sounds like she has fucked her way through the decades.
First of all, I don't care for the language. I think she made love to those rockers.
I think,
And in my single days, I would have had sex behind a dumpster at the Wiltern. It's, right. There's no question in my mind. That would have been enough to get me.
Just, you've got eyes.
You got hey, you got two of those
you
things.
You got two eyes. Now, I'm going to put my dick in you.
Well
again,
no,
you
I
don't.
No, no, wait. No, why? She's got one?
No, you are going to have sex with her because she said that, you said when I was 26.
I did not throw an age on it. I said my younger days.
Okay. In my head, you were
trying
26.
To think when I started to date Danielle.
By the way, I need to know that because I have some questions.
I started dating
before.
Danielle in 1998. We've been together 21 years.
Okay. So how old were you?
I don't know.
Okay.
Wait, what year did I say?
1998. When were you born?
32. I was 32 years old.
32 years old. Okay. Mm-hmm. So got it. Because when I did your podcast the other day, we discussed that you might have a child that you don't know about, lurk maybe more from when you just splattered your way across this country.
Yeah, I don't know if I splattered as often as the
you made it sound.
Joke of it is.
Okay.
But I do know that there were some activities on the road that where I mistakenly was not protected. So it would be as surprising as not surprising,
right,
to possibly have a child out there.
I want to hear about, like, you're a 26-year-old. What are you wearing at that day? Now, I know that I read something that you had some Jordache jeans at some point.
What? Why would that be something you read?
Listen, I do my...
There's the worst headshot in the history of headshots.
What? How old are you there?
Probably 23, 24.
Okay. Okay.
We all had mullets. Don't make fun of the hair.
There's no world where I'm not going to make fun.
We all had that.
What do you mean we all had that?
Every man had that hair. Every man. Every man
I had it.
Had that
did
hair.
Did you have this hair?
I did. I was much younger.
God, I was going to talk about you getting laid, but now I'm thinking that probably didn't happen.
No, it did. That's
crazy.
That's the amazing part. That's the amazing
part. People make movies about the 80s, mm-hmm. about like important things that have happened. I feel like someone needs to make a movie about the fact that men had that hair and the population still continues.
But then look at the women's hair in that time. That also, when you look back at photographs, it's ridiculous. If you watch the Goldbergs or if you see music videos, that hair is like, and we didn't think anything of it. Like you move along with the times and it's like, we weren't hippies anymore.
Yeah.
This was cooler than hippies. When, if you think about it, hippie hair is fantastic.
Fantastic hair.
And this is awful.
I mean, the fact that the human population didn't just stop after 1984 is shocking.
Everybody was coked up and banging.
Were you a drug person?
No, not once. I've never done drugs in my life.
Me neither.
Nothing.
I've smoked pot.
I have not.
Okay.
And I know that's not a drug. It's a plant, man. I get it. But I don't...
I'll tell you what I don't get is what I just had to see.
Well,
that
you're welcome.
Phase and character.
I go into characters from time to time.
Okay. So we got 26-year-old... like really feeling himself. I'm in a mullet. I read online that you wore Jordache jeans and some mesh shirts. This is something about you online. Did you or did you not own Jordache jeans?
Sure,
at some
of course.
Point?
Yeah, we all did.
I didn't know men had Jordache jeans.
Yeah, we wore Jordache. We wore what was it? What was another brand?
What was the fit of a male Jordache?
On a gentleman like me, fantastic.
I honestly
just go along with something. You don't have to throw the wet blanket on every goddamn thing. Just laugh and enjoy something.
Okay, fine.
Because you laughed. You laughed.
I know.
You turned away so nobody heard you laugh. Then no. You came back because you wanted to shit on it. Just enjoy something.
Listen, Jimmy, you think that if I turn away, people don't hear this screechy laugh?
That's a great point.
You don't think that it's, you don't think my neighbors and everybody listening at home, we don't actually use sound. You're just hearing me live. From my house into your car, wherever you're hearing right. me. You know, my screechy voice.
So you want to know what?
Well, one, I just wasn't aware that Jordache jeans. Okay, so you're feeling good. You got your mullet.
Mm-hmm. Jordache, by the way, because Gloria Vanderbilt did not.
Do a male jean.
Right. I don't, at least if they did, I couldn't afford them. Jordache okay. had a jean that I.
That was reasonably that priced.
That was reasonably priced. And I did wear mesh, I wore mesh shirts. Mm-hmm. I wanted to be Don Johnson and Michael J. Fox
all
combined.
In one.
And then eventually I wanted to be Tom Hanks. I always wanted to be somebody else. But the okay. point is that, so I wore, I looked like I was an extra on Miami Vice.
You hoped.
That I would be an extra on Miami Vice?
No, you hoped that's how you looked.
Yeah, I did. There's photograph. There's photographic evidence. Okay. I did look like that.
Okay.
I will own that I looked like that. And I'm not saying that's a good thing.
Did
I'm,
you wear a vest?
I didn't wear a vest. I would wear the, you know, the linen sport coat.
Okay, linen sport coat.
I wore the white or a mint-colored linen sport coat.
Okay.
I would wear a mint, this is 100% true. I wear a mint linen sport coat over a pink mesh.
Oh my God.
Crew neck shirt.
This is.
There's photos of it. I have one on my phone.
I'd love to get my eyes
I don't
on
know
that.
If the jacket is in it, but the mesh shirt is certainly. Okay. With a capped sleeve that, like, I wouldn't have the balls to wear that, like, to bed now with the risk that my wife would see it.
So how much sex would you get back in the day from making ladies laugh?
I don't know how to answer that. I don't know how to. The way that I always put it is I was not working the A clubs when I started. So when mm-hmm. I was doing the road, mm-hmm. I was doing honky tonks, mm-hmm. which is, I've never said honky tonk in my life. Looking, so
I don't know.
Is everybody comfortable with that? I would do
I'll let you know.
Your honky tonks, your taverns, your saloons. And I would,
so this was just like a Southwestern tour?
I would do mostly Western areas, yeah. I would do just these bad one-nighters. Uh-huh. And I think I have these on the opposite way they're supposed to.
Okay.
There we go.
Oh, there it is.
Okay. I made fun of Riser for 12 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. And how many minutes are we in? And Pardo just got his.
22?
22. Yeah. Hands on, right.
As I often put it, is because I would work these basically one-nighter mm-hmm. bars. You know, I would do comedy night, but mm-hmm. I would be from Chicago. So it was exciting for the locals. That mm-hmm. whether I was funny or not, and I'm guessing I was more often not back in those days.
I'll back that up.
No, you can't. You weren't there.
No, I'll back it up.
You can't. I said, like, I'm to the, these young girls, 21, mm-hmm. 22, and I was only like 23, 24 myself. I was a star from Chicago that came to Portsmouth, Ohio. So, mm-hmm. Yes, they were excited that I would be there.
So you just had the time of your life.
I drank and had fun a lot in the late 80s, early 90s.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And I drank till 99. So
there are little Pardos running around to honky tonks across America.
I'm sure my daughter's serving at a honky tonk somewhere. I don't really believe that I have somebody out there, a child out there, but why would wouldn't any traveling troubadour? I call myself a troubadour. Why wouldn't any of us?
Oof.
It was a different time. Like
I'm not judging. I wish when by the time I was having sex, AIDS had ruined everything. And
it was on its way.
I have a question. You are a pioneer of podcasting.
Sure, okay.
You're aware that most people only refer to pioneers in their obituaries. Like, does it concern you that people are calling you something that is usually referred for someone who's dead?
I don't think that's true. I think people are called the pioneer on in music.
Mm-hmm.
They blazed the trail for new wave, so to speak. Maybe a Gary Newman did that.
Usually it
maybe
means
a Peter Murphy
that they're done.
I don't know.
And that other people have taken up the baton.
I don't know. I don't subscribe to that at all, mainly because they call me a pioneer and I won't hear of it.
Okay. Well,
I'm flattered that they call me that because, you know, some people were saying I was the first. And I was not the first.
Yeah.
To use Todd Glass, the great Todd Glass. Todd Glass said, mm-hmm. Jimmy Pardo might not have been the first podcaster, but he was the first one you knew about.
Yeah.
And I think that's an accurate way to say it. Because there were certainly podcasts before me and comedy podcasts. But I was the one, I think I was the first West Coast comic with a quote-unquote following and a name that had one.
Yes.
And so I'm happy with the word pioneer.
Now, have you been with Matt Belknap the entire time?
Day one. He came to me. He was a fan of mine. Mm-hmm. And he would come to my shows at the UCB Theater.
Little braggy, but
and
okay.
No, none of that.
No, you were like, he was a fan of mine.
Well, he was a fan of mine. That's not bragging. I'm stating fact.
It was your face.
Fact. How you two tolerate this is beyond me. And I'm talking to you now, Jennifer. Jennifer, was it?
Yes.
And Tony?
What I'm trying to get at is I may
how
have,
do you fire Tony?
Is,
no, go ahead.
How do I get rid of Tony and get someone that I have some fucking chemistry with? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, of course I know what you mean. I know Tony.
Yeah.
It's not easy.
You recommended him to me.
I didn't know you'd have him talk.
Well,
he's a guy that
I thought... That is to be fair.
You said
he's
a great
that.
Producer, and I said, he knows great Tony Thaxton.
Yeah, you're right.
He knows how to hit a timbali, and he knows how to turn the knobs. And then I walk in, you give him a microphone. I wouldn't have done that.
Fuck.
I don't know why she has one.
Listen, Jennifer, I've only now known for a couple weeks as well. This is the way life has happened. I'm trying to handle what has been given to me. Mm-hmm. As an adult, I'm taking what I have and making the most of it.
All right. Is that how you tie it into the theme of the show? But that's statement right there.
Yeah.
Because so far, I don't know why my jeans have anything to do with the format.
The format is...
I wore Jordache.
The format is me, with the exception of this episode, bringing in people that I think are technically grown adults who are managed to function in society that I find not boring and edgy and interesting and funny. Sometimes you have to fill it with other guests.
I know somebody.
I get it. Mm-hmm. And that's what the thing is. I'm not trying to change the world.
I was told in an email, I'm doing this new podcast. I'm looking to change the world. You want to be part of it? And I said, I am. And then I get here and I got to hear Tony Thaxton's views on computers. I'm not interested.
All right, let's take a quick break. Everyone calm the fuck down. Jimmy, your eyes are still popping.
I'm already taking the break. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, we'll be right back with Jimmy Pardo.
Hey, guys. You know I love my Rothy shoes. I'm wearing them right now as I record this. And I just looked on their website. They have new styles and colors every week. It's very exciting. And as I've talked about before, they make them out of recycled plastic water bottles. They've literally taken 35 million water bottles out of landfills already, which is really amazing. And the other thing that I super, super love about them is they're fully machine washable. Every time you need them to be cleaned, you just throw them in the washing machine, and it's literally, they seem like a fresh pair every time you get them out. I like a slip-on, and that's the one I go for, but they have a ton of cute styles. So go to Rothys.com, that's Rothys.com/Andrea, to get your new favorite shoe. Comfort, style, and sustainability. These are the shoes you've been waiting for. Go to Rothys.com/Andrea and get yourself some new shoes.
This is a disaster. Do we just cut it now?
Whatever you want to do. However you want to do it. You call it a disaster. My guess is it's probably the most fun episode you've had so far.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I know
Christ.
It certainly has to be for Jen.
Okay, we're back. Jimmy Pardo, you just claimed that this is the most fun episode.
God damn it!
Now, I want to go through, people know you from, you worked with Conan forever.
7 years I was at Conan.
Roasts. You have your very successful podcast.
Roasts?
Ever. Yeah. Haven't you done some roasts?
Well,
Comedy Central roasts?
No.
Okay. Listen, the internet.
I've done two roasts. Here's the two roasts. Okay. Three. I did the roast of Bud Friedman, the Tom Arnold, for a charity
so
event.
So why'd you scream roast as if I just came up with the craziest thing in the whole world? Yeah.
Then I did, when Paul F. Tompkins moved to New York to host Best Week Ever, we did a roast of Paul F. Tompkins that I hosted at the UCB Theater. And then they did the roast of Jimmy Pardo at the night before my wedding.
All right. He does stand up all over. Am I allowed to say that?
What?
You've hosted game shows. You have.
Yes.
I'm nervous now to say anything.
I've hosted game shows. That's true.
Yes.
I've hosted several that have got it on the air. Yes. And I've hosted a million that did not.
You are made to host a game show.
Yep. Tell Hollywood, would you? Because I don't disagree. But it's very important that Alec Baldwin have a new job. Go ahead. You were saying?
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
It's very important that movie star Alec Baldwin have a game show. Go ahead, though.
Take a quick sip from your metal straw.
Metal straw makes it, you know what I like about it? Hmm. It makes the drink stay cold.
Really?
All the way from can to mouth.
Oh, that was hard to watch.
That'll go on.
Yeah. Okay. So you know, you've done a lot of things over your career. Now, I like to go back to some of my guests' earlier projects and walk through sort of their feelings when they got the job.
Go.
The Naked Truth, Detective Number 2.
Yes. This woman wanted to see you.
1997.
There's my line.
What was it?
This woman wanted to see you. That was my line.
What context was that?
Well, I was a Detective Number 2 that came in to tell Detective Number 1 that this woman wanted to see him. That was my guy. It was Taya Leone. And I walk her into the interrogation room and I said, this woman wanted to see you.
That was a good read right there.
And then I put my, I think I did a Jimmy Pardo thing on the way out where I grabbed somebody's shoulder and went, and then walked out. Like that's how I made it my own.
Are you allowed to call things by, like, oh, I did a Jimmy Pardo thing?
Yes.
You're allowed to name third person yourself?
I wanted people to see that.
Why is that a Jimmy Pardo move?
Because I do stupid things where I touch it. I grab your elbow and I do weird things. So I did one.
You've never touched my elbow?
I don't come near you because it's 2019 and you're a woman. In 87, my hands are all over you.
By the way, that's the least of my worries. I'm having that baby.
This conversation taking a very nice turn.
If you and I know we joked on your podcast once that you were like, we have a palpable chemistry. I don't remember what you called it. And that if our spouses die, we will end up dating. And you were confident that that was going to happen.
Well, as I pointed out that I've already...
promised yourself one person ahead of me.
Rachel Quaintance is ahead of you.
Yeah.
And then you. But by the way, that's assuming Rachel's husband has also died. So a lot has to happen.
Okay.
If Danielle leaves me, and by the way, she should at any given moment.
I'm talking to her currently about... the process.
And if you and your husband split, and he's got to think about it daily.
Honestly, he does not.
Then you and I are in. That's assuming Rachel is still with husband.
Okay.
If they break up first and then Danielle, then it's got to be Rachel.
To be clear, I am not on board with this plan.
These are contracts.
Okay, but I'm not signing this contract.
You
this
have already signed it. You have verbally signed the contract.
No, this is not my plan. If my husband and I break up or he dies, I have so many people ahead of you.
That can't be true.
It is so 100% true.
It can't be.
But it is.
But it can't be based on past conversations.
What past conversations?
You just said in an earlier life you would have had my child. You just said that.
No,
Tony,
in an earlier
and
life.
The unnecessarily mic'd Jennifer heard it. Okay. All right, go on.
You're living in a dream world.
So yeah, I did Naked Truth. Go on.
You and I met in an basically in an acting class.
Yes.
For an audition. An audition.
I was great in that class.
I don't have the same recollection, but okay.
Interesting.
Yeah, yeah. But that is how we met.
100%.
Years ago 100%. In an audition workshop class.
Mm-hmm. The first time we spoke was I had a Jamba Juice that was ruining the class for everybody because my stomach was not accepting all those juices in one cup. And
what was your stomach?
My stomach kept going.
So it was just making noises. It wasn't.
I was like, I'm sorry, apologize.
I said
I was having stomach trouble and I thought a Jamba Juice was a good idea. And you said, why would you think that? And
that was probably what 20
and
years
we laughed
ago?
Like crazy. You, me, and Pete Schwabe was a part of that conversation.
Oh my god!
And the three of us laughed like crazy.
That makes me feel good to know that I haven't changed. That would be my same reaction.
It was really funny. There were two things that I did not make the final cut of.
Okay, there's one that I read about that I'd love.
The Informant or Dreamgirls?
Oh, I didn't realize that Informant was also a cut.
Here's what happened with the Informant.
Uh-huh.
On my drive there. No, that's not a lie. The night before, I was driving home to obsess about my lines.
Yes.
And I got a phone call saying, hey, they've decided to cut that scene.
Okay.
So I wasn't cut out of that as much as I was.
That's way better than actually showing up.
Is it?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I kind of would have liked to have had a scene with Matt Damon and had some fun and become his best friend like Tom Papa did.
Oh, boy. Was your goals going in?
I will tell you this. When I read the script, I said, boy, if there's one scene of this script that can get cut, it's this one.
Yeah.
And so when they made the call, I actually said to the guy, that makes sense.
I've done that before where there's been characters that I've done or whatever and we're talking about it and I've been like, I'm just going to be honest. I don't think you need this character.
Really?
Yeah. And I'm like, if I were show running or writing or producing the show, like, this isn't, now, again, I don't want to cut myself out, but I don't think that this is actually necessary.
It was not Dreamgirls.
Okay, so Dreamgirls, walk me through what it was, when you found out you got it. Like, walk me through all of this.
I got a phone call from my manager, might have been my agent at the time, and he said, just got a phone call, Bill Condon, I believe is the director. Bill Condon wants to cast you in Dreamgirls.
Okay.
I didn't audition.
You didn't audition?
Didn't do anything.
How did Bill Condon know you?
Right?
Like, honestly.
I don't know. And then they said, oh, you're the club owner of the club. Oh, what is it? The something nightclub is proud to present. I forget what my line was.
We'll find it. Tony's on it.
Is proud to present.
We'll never find out.
So what it was, the scene was that I was introducing, the Dreamgirls.
The Dreamgirls.
Beyonce and Jennifer Lopez and
Hudson.
Monica, Jennifer Hudson and Monica Rose?
Yeah.
What is her name?
I believe it's Rose.
Annika.
If we could get that on, if we can get on the list.
Annika Noni Rose?
That's it. I always say Nanika. I combine Annika Noni. That's unfair. The woman's got her name.
Yeah.
Annika Noni Rose. They were the backup singers for Eddie Murphy's character.
Yes.
They were leaving him. And so I was hired to be the club owner introducing the Dreams for the first time.
Great.
So I got there at 5 a.m.
How excited or nervous? What was the emotional state?
Very excited.
Very excited.
Very excited.
That's exciting. That's going up on a huge movie.
And I love musicals.
And you love musicals. You love music.
Everything about it. And
Eddie Murphy.
I kind of like the idea of then people seeing this movie and going, Jesus, was that Jimmy Pardo?
Yeah.
Like I have no business being in this blockbuster movie.
And when you say people are going to do that, you mean like your family?
I mean like Bill Condon. I think him confirming.
Him confirming,
and,
yeah.
And like family, even like other people in life going to see this movie.
Yeah, just being like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I go to the set and they're like, oh, you know what? Lighting lit. They lit it incorrectly. They're going to be doing the dream scene first. So hang tight.
Oh boy.
The dream scene, by the way, which is the, we're your dream girls. The most important.
The most important scene.
Which took, and I'm not kidding you, they started at 7 a.m. shooting that.
Yeah.
At 10:55 p.m.
Yeah, that's movies.
They come to get Jimmy Pardo.
Yeah.
So then eventually at 10:55, they come and get me and they go, Bill feels horribly that you've been waiting all day. We're going to relight your scene. The girls are going to wait and we're going to do your scene and then back to the dreams. So I literally come on set. There is one frickin' spotlight that hits me.
Uh-huh.
Ladies and gentlemen, the club.
Crystal is it, Room in
yeah.
Ohio?
The Crystal Room is proud to present. In where? Which one?
Cleveland.
No, it was not. I did. I was in, it was in Florida.
The Miami one?
Yes. Is proud to present, for the first time ever, The Dreams.
Uh-huh.
And I did that one time, and he went, well, that was perfect. And I went, that's 12 hours of work, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
And Beyonce and Jennifer Hudson and Annika laughed at my wonderful...
They all laughed?
My wonderful, quote-unquote, joke. And I said, that's a wrap on Mr. Pardo's hard day. And then they all applauded.
Oh,
and
what?
I walked off, and one of the extras came up to me and goes, I cannot tell you how beautiful that looks on film. And he goes, it looked the way the light hit you. My God.
Your eyes were popping.
It was
I'm
gorgeous.
Sure.
And I walked off. And then, and I was like, well, that, I get, once again,
couldn't have gone better,
but not necessary. And so I kind of knew.
Oh, okay. You had a feeling.
So what happened was the day before when I heard about the premiere happening at the Chinese theater and I had not received my invite, I had my manager call up and they said, oh, what an embarrassment that we haven't called you. Bill decided that the consistency of having the VOs made more sense than breaking it up with this one.
Okay.
Now, they've issued, since the movie came out, they've issued a double disc DVD with behind the scenes that I did not, not a part of.
Great.
Then I believe they issued a 49 disc version.
40?
I'm making that number up.
It's like, what? So there have been opportunities for them to actually show that?
Yes.
And if Bill Condon really felt badly, he would have thrown you in one of those.
I don't know why I don't make those.
Do you think Bill Condon saw you do a show and was like, fuck that guy? And was like, I'm going to lure him into this movie, waste his time.
No, I do not think that.
I don't think so either.
I don't think that because I don't think he'd want to waste Beyonce's time.
All right, Jimmy, I like to play games.
Go.
Basically, this podcast is an excuse for me to see my friends, laugh about ridiculous stuff, play some games.
And this episode. Go ahead.
And then also this episode. Let's do some Would You Rathers.
Okay.
Oof, that wasn't great.
I'm in.
Oh, Not in an energetic way.
I'm game. Go ahead.
All right. Here we go. You ready?
Yes, I'm ready. I've been okay.
This one, we're going to start off hot. Would you rather have sex with a goat and no one would know? Okay. Nobody would have any idea. Or not have sex with a goat, but have everyone think that you did.
B.
Really?
B. I'm not having sex with a goat.
You're comfortable with that being the headline? If you're someone's research, if you're up for a job, people are Googling you.
Because I get in the meeting and I go, it didn't happen.
You're not getting that meeting, Jimmy.
I'm putting out a statement.
You can't put out a statement.
I can certainly put out a statement.
No, that's not part of this.
I've got a publicist. Why do you think I can't issue a press release on this?
Because that's not part of the would you rather. People have to all believe that you have had sex with a goat and there's nothing you can do.
I don't want to have sex with a goat. That's not my bag.
Do you know how would you rather works? Neither of these are things you want to happen.
I'm not having sex with a goat today.
Listen, I don't know how the rest of your afternoon goes, okay? I don't know what the rest of your day plan is.
Listen, I got that thing at the honky-tonk tonight. I know there's goats out back, so there's a chance it could happen. I may have fathered a goat. I may have a kid out there somewhere.
Oh, boom.
Yeah.
Kid.
Come on, we like that.
Yeah, I didn't want to, but I enjoyed it.
That's good wordplay. It's good wordplay.
Ugh. So you're
all right. Obviously, sex with goat then.
So, I don't know what's obvious. Can we just have a real conversation about this?
No, you've yelled at me 9 times over my decision.
Well, because you didn't seem to understand how would you rather worked.
Well, right. And then once I understood it, I said goat sex.
So, Tony, sex with a goat. Nobody knows, but think about actually having intercourse with a goat. Like that, the feelings, and that's a memory you're going to have. You have to live with yourself. I'm not advocating one way or the other. I'm just saying they both have real challenges.
Mm-hmm. I'll have sex with that goat.
Tony seems to be more excited by the sex with
the
goat.
He's a drummer. They're dumb.
What? Wow, Jennifer.
Would the sex with the goat have to last long?
I know I'm just a guest.
Yeah.
Can Jennifer get farther away from the microphone?
I know. Jennifer, talking to that mic.
I like.
Hit yourself up. You're not a tall woman, but you can get to that. Woman. How long would the sex last with the goat? I say it can't just be like 10 seconds.
Well, no, you gotta have you have to have an orgasm.
Well, I don't know if the goat's gonna be able to do what I need the goat to
do. You ever hang out with a goat?
No.
Their little mouths. These guys are
oral sex?
I don't know how you're doing.
Wait. I'm not having oral sex with a goat.
I assumed the goat was going down.
Was that why you eventually decided to go with the goat?
Oh no, I'm fucking the goat.
You're fucking the goat.
But for you ladies, I'd like to think that it's an oral situation.
Why is that any worse?
But I feel like I don't trust a goat to
lay back and enjoy it. Can I tell you this? This is 100% true. Yeah. I was the spokesman for a mall in Portland, Oregon for years.
Mm-hmm.
And one of our things was to go around all of Oregon and show you how interesting the state of Oregon could be. And one of them was I went to a goat farm and there was a little goat named Tequila that I'm not kidding, I fell in love with. This goat was the cutest little goat. It followed me everywhere. It would nibble on my hand. I loved everything. I had a picture of I brought it home to Danielle and I said, look at this goat. And we put it up on our fridge. I loved this goat. Girls, I'm telling you. You would enjoy the company of a goat.
Wait, I'm not saying I don't think goats are cute. Are you saying Tequila when
I'm
you had to
I
answer
had
this
sex with
question?
A goat already.
When you're picturing this hypothetical,
I'm picturing Tequila.
You're picturing you're penetrating Tequila.
Yes, and Tequila's into it.
What? So
this goat was just the cutest little goat. It would nibble on my hand.
You mentioned the nibbling on your hand. Why do you think it's going to enjoy you having sex with it?
I just got that sense. I think Tequila was really, she saw my eyes.
She probably saw your eyes pop. All right, I'm not having oral sex with the goat, but I also believe, I think I just have to do it.
You would let the goat penetrate you.
I don't have a choice. I'm not letting the goat, I'm not having the goat's not performing oral sex on me. Like, that seems so dangerous. I don't believe goats are one of the animals that perform oral sex in general.
I think they eat everything. Tony said it.
I don't want a female circumcision
at this age. Saying. There is some danger.
There's some danger that I'm not, and I feel like they at least, they penetrate things. Sex is something goats do. So if I had to go with the goat, I don't think I could live with my daughter knowing that I'd had sex with a goat.
So you'd have sex with a goat?
No, I'm saying I would have sex. Yeah, I'm saying I would have sex with a goat. Nobody would know.
Jen, I interrupted your answer. Did you give an answer?
I would do the same. But then also knowing myself, I would have to tell one person.
Oof. Who would you tell?
Who would you tell?
I feel like I would need
to. Wouldn't it be 20th Axton?
I feel like I would need to share that, like, hey, to one of my, like, friends. Be like, hey, you can't
That's
judge me.
Such
to
a lose, slippery slope.
I think you do it to kind of lose the, because you don't want to live with that shame alone.
But if you hold
alone.
It in,
yeah.
Oh, I'd hold I feel it. Like it would eat me inside. I 100%
agree
with Jennifer. I would be grocery shopping. I'd be, like, you know, going to buy oat milk, and then I'd be like, oh, goat, fuck. And,
yeah.
like, I would
oat,
just
goat. Yeah, she's Nipsey Russell.
That. Who would you tell?
Who would I tell?
Yeah.
I have a friend that I would tell.
You do?
I do.
And you would say, listen.
I would. There is a friend that has been a wonderful confidant in my life that I would go to and say, I have to share this with somebody.
Now, do you think you are close enough friends, true realism?
Yes.
You told them I had sex with a goat. They would not be like, okay. And then your friendship, suddenly they're not available.
It might be.
It affects your friendship.
Yeah.
So you would, now you've had sex with a goat. You have to live with that. Now your one closest confidant, you may lose because of this.
Might lose, but at least, like Jennifer said, I'm not getting, it's not eating me up inside.
I don't feel like letting one person know makes me feel any better. I'd keep it in wraps.
What about a therapist? Would you tell a therapist?
No.
I think that's something that might be against the law, and she might have to say something.
Mm.
Oh yeah.
I like that you assume the therapist is a woman.
I've only gone to a female. No, I did go to a male therapist once.
Okay. Tony, I'd like to think that by the end of this season, you
I'm going to have sex with a goat.
And that you will feel comfortable enough for me to be your special
someone.
Oh, it's
not going to be you ever.
I'm the least judgmental person.
Tony's not going to buy into this. There's no way you're his confidant.
I'm telling you, I think we're the right level.
You've already made it clear you've got no chemistry with him.
I know, but I'm hoping by the end of the season something happens. That I would be his special someone to go, listen, we're not that close, but I know you're not judgmental. I had sex with a goat, and I need you to be in this with me.
And how would you react to that?
Jesus Christ, I gotta get someone new in here. I can't work with a person who fucked a goat.
Yeah, you can have a goat fucker in
yeah.
here. Right? You're cut loose. Tony, keep your mouth shut.
Yeah.
Jennifer did it too.
Jennifer keeps her mouth shut too. Everybody keeps their fucking mouth shut on this goat fucking thing. You hear me? We all did it once.
We all did it once.
We're like a Big Little Lies on HBO. Yeah, yeah. Except we all fucked a goat. We gotta keep it quiet.
Would you rather skinny dip with someone you know of the opposite sex? Or a stranger?
Oh, a stranger. There's no question here.
Why?
Because I will never see them again.
Okay.
And I will see that other person.
Yeah, like a friend
yeah,
that's
no,
a female.
Nope.
Not a chance.
Nope. No, thank you.
What are the concerns there?
They don't need to see me. They don't need to see my business.
Okay, but a stranger.
Who cares? Let's go.
Strange woman.
Let's go splash around.
Both women.
Yeah, let's get in the pool.
Splash around?
We're in a pool. You said skinny dip.
Yeah.
Let's go. Let's splash around. Let's get one of those noodles and ride it.
If it's someone you know, nothing. If it's someone you don't know, a stranger, you're now frolicking?
Well, I'm not standing on the edge and doing cannonballs. I'm in the pool splashing about.
So you're having now a fun summer afternoon with a stranger.
Yes, I've skinny dipped. I've done this.
With strangers?
With strangers, yeah. At a hotel pool.
When?
Boy, let's pick the year. 90...
What was the contest?
Two. Me and the other comedian, Pat Francis, we did a show that did not go well.
Okay.
We then went down to the pool, and the entire audience was at the pool, and all of a sudden, they were our buddies. Hey, it's the comedian. Oh, actually, that's not true. One person went, oh, it's the comedians. And then somebody went, it's the comedians. They go, hey, we're skinny dipping. You want in? And we went, I don't remember, in fairness, I don't know if we went full skinny or just down to the underpants.
Well, that's a huge difference.
It's a public pool.
But if you're throwing, you just said I did this. Well, there's such a difference between me getting in there. I would get in front of you in my bra and underwear if I had to.
You would?
Yeah,
see, I would not get in my underpants in front of you. I would not do that. If you were a stranger or Jennifer, I would do it in a heartbeat.
Are you coming on to Jennifer?
I have dated many a Jennifer in my day.
Oh, I think I knew that.
Yeah, the second one I dated, we called Jennifer 2. I'm convinced she did not care for that.
Tony. And this is, let's be clear, fully nude, no underwear.
Yeah. I got you. Here's the thing. I don't know that I have a huge problem with either.
Oh. Tony Thaxton.
But I'm also I'm not claiming that I've, you know, running around doing that. But
you're like, I don't have a problem being nude in front of someone I know.
I think, you know, if I'm in the scenario like this, one of these has to happen.
Mm-hmm.
All right, sure.
Which one? See what I'm dealing with? This is the kind of stuff I deal with.
I don't know what asshole recommended him.
I guess I'll go friend.
I feel like Jennifer, I know the answer. I think we talked about this before. But which was it?
It's friend.
Friend.
Yeah.
Male friend, yeah.
Male friend.
Okay.
We did talk about
really?
That. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have a male friend in mind?
In mind? I have like two that I would, yeah. I also went to Jewish summer camp and you were just, we did that.
What?
Yeah.
It Jewish.
At my Jewish summer camp, like we had like a, you would
co-ed
shower.
Co-ed skinny dipping?
We did that, yeah.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, I've
how
already
old?
Done it. 20?
What the fuck are you talking
Wait,
about?
Why were you at summer camp at 20?
Wait, counselor. Yeah, counselor. Yeah,
there's a lot here on.
Okay. Okay, that was counselor. I've been going since like I was a child.
Okay, were the counselors
like,
doing this or yeah, when you were a child?
No, counselor.
Okay, we'll make that clear.
Yeah.
Okay. I love that I'm finding out this. This is what happens when you start projects with people you don't know.
I love it.
You find out that they slutted around their Jewish camp.
Oh, you didn't know she was Jewish?
I knew she was Jewish.
I mean, it's kind of obvious.
Well, I didn't say it's obvious, but I just feel like that's a thing. You know, that's a weird thing.
That's a thing?
A Finkel, Jennifer Finkel, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's there, isn't it?
It's there. We talked about it the first time. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Then we're coming back very quickly, and we're going to get Jimmy Pardo out of here. Hey, guys. Do you want to take vitamins, but you're always like, oh, my God, there's so many things in this, and I don't think I need all that stuff, and where is this stuff coming from? Then you should take a look at Ritual Vitamins. They are created by women for women, and it is the multivitamin reimagined. They figured out basically all you need are 9 nutrients to support a great foundation for your health. So that is all that's in there. The vitamin has been obsessively researched, which I love. Ritual Vitamins are traceable and transparent. They are vegan friendly, sugar free, non-GMO, gluten free, allergen free, and you can find out all the places that their sources come from. It's a delivery service. It's super easy to start. It's easy to snooze. It's delivered every month. It's super easy. Better health does not happen overnight. And Ritual is offering my listeners 10% off during your first 3 months. Fill in the gaps in your diet with Essential for Women. Visit ritual.com/buttholes to start your ritual today. That's 10% off during your first 3 months at ritual.com/buttholes. Guys, how are we doing on our New Year's resolutions? We are now in March. I'll be honest, I have not been doing my making my bed or having it be the year of my scent as much as I've wanted it to be. But there is an app that I think everybody should look into because it's a habit-changing program that uses cognitive therapy to focus you on your goals and make you feel empowered to change your life for good. It's to be healthier, eat better, exercise, have more energy, to, I mean, honestly, improve your feelings of self-worth, everything. And it's an app, again, based in cognitive behavioral approach. You get a personalized course to help you figure out why you're doing certain habits and to give you the tools to stop doing those destructive habits. They know you're busy. It does not take a lot of time. It's only 10 minutes a day. It's designed by psychologists and you get your own goal specialist and you're matched up with other noomers. I didn't come up with that, guys. That's their word. And there's always support and people going through what you're going through. And I use it for stress management and articles for me to read about foods that give you more energy and just how to have a little bit more balance in my life. 80% of people, noomers, again, finish the program and over 60% have stuck with their goals for at least 1 year, which is an incredibly high percentage on both parts. It is the perfect time to make a step toward healthier habits. Sign up for your trial today at Noom, that's Noom.com/savage.
That's Noom, Noom.com/savage. All right, we're back here with Jimmy Pardo. It's Pardo, right?
No, it's not. You know it's not.
Jimmy Pardo. All right. The loose theme, a little bit of this podcast, is about growing up, how we now, people who are technically grown up, sort of, like, what does that mean? Were you scared to grow up?
I don't think I did, no. This is the truth. When my son was born, now remember, I quit, I worked for MCA Records making, you know, six-digit paycheck.
Boy. All right, braggy, braggy.
At 22.
Wow.
So.
And you left that to do this?
Right, so to make $150 a week. Like, so I left hanging out with rock stars and doing all that. That's amazing. So
you
that,
really believed in yourself.
That was risky.
Woo. You're stupid.
Yeah.
I've done, you know, I basically traveled in my car doing stand-up comedy, honky tonks, and so on. But when my son was born, I felt like, well, now I'm an adult. I've never really done anything risky.
Yeah.
And so I went and got a tattoo 6 weeks into my son being born.
What is the tattoo?
I have a shark on this arm, and I got an anchor on this arm.
And what did those symbolize for you?
I love sharks.
And I love anchors.
Well, then the anchor was because I saw my son as an anchor to keep me stable in this crazy, stupid world that we live in.
But you were open-minded about that. You weren't like, oh, God, now I've got to change who I am.
No, I think it was a little bit of a break. Like, I went to get a tattoo. I think it was a little bit of a nervous breakdown.
Okay.
I think that's unfair to people that have had real nervous breakdowns.
No, I know what you mean. You know what I mean? Little bit of a midlife crisis or whatever that word is, where you're just going, holy shit.
Yeah, and then maybe a week later it was gone. But for that week, it was like, what the shit is...
Panic.
I'm a dad now? I can barely cope myself. Now I got to be in charge of this little guy? And then now it's gone. But yes. Yeah. Otherwise, no, I'm not afraid. Although I did have, since you brought it up, I did have a situation the other day where it hit me that I may not be alive when my son turns 50. Yeah. And that made me sob, and I broke down, and just like the idea of, what? I'm not going to be able to see him grow up? I mean, 50's grown up, but you know what I mean by that?
No, 100, I totally know.
Danielle was like, are you okay? I'm like, no, I really had a realization today that kind of bummed me the F out, man.
Yeah.
And then I got out of it. I don't know if I got out of it, to be honest with you. I think it's still kind of back there.
I don't think that is one that just like goes bye-bye.
Yeah.
But I think you have those moments of like, okay. Or like something where your child comes home with something. You're like, I need to pretend I really know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, right.
And I'm the adult here.
Yeah.
Which is crazy because you're like, when did I become the person that everyone's coming to?
Yeah, I'm still the clown. We're luckily Danielle, who's also a clown, but she knows how to handle these situations. Like she's really great at that. She tells me that I undersell my being a dad, I luckily she knows what to do, and I'm doing the best I can.
Okay, is there a moment that you can think of? Maybe you can't. When your son came to you and you were like, "Oh fuck, I don't know." I in years past, I would have probably called my parents and asked them how to handle this.
Oh, yeah, that's a great... you know, the biggest one is he got bullied quite a bit this past year. And it happened to him in sixth grade, which was the same year that I got bullied. So, but yet, I don't know how to tell him... Like, I did not know, like, how to tell him what to do. Like, you know, you can't tell him to, you know, just... Let it roll off your back.
That's not
the answer. And so that was a lot of like, well, Jesus Christ, I would have maybe talked to my parents about this, like you said.
Yeah.
Well, and that's what he's doing. He's talking to his parent about it.
And you're supposed to have all the
answers. I'm supposed to have the answer. And
that's a hard one.
That was a hard one. And it was, and eventually I did settle on, you know, look, here's the truth. If this kid, and there was a couple of them, but if there was one in particular, I said, if it gets to the point where this kid is pushing your buttons and you punch him, you will not get in trouble from me. Well, I am not saying punch him. I'm not giving you permission to punch him.
Yeah.
But if at some point he pushes your buttons enough where you can't, and you have used all of your quote unquote tools to stop him from doing that, where if you just go, today's the day, man, I can't take it, and punch, if you get expelled, whatever happens at school, and then you come home and go, Dad, I got expelled, you will not get in trouble here.
Wow.
That's amazing. And I think that gave him some confidence to like, okay, my dad's not going to be mad at me.
Yeah.
And then Danielle, like I told Danielle, she of course said, "What? That's the worst fucking." She did not say that. She kind of agreed. She's like,
"I have to say, I agree with that because
I think sometimes that now gives him license. It gives him some trick in his back pocket if he needs to have right. it that's been sanctioned.
Yeah.
And to also know if the shit hits the fan and not one fucking kid at school ever talks to you again, you still have us.
Right.
Which ultimately I've had to use that with my daughter. You know what I mean? Like, honestly, if all of this drama went, you know, kid girl drama, all this stuff, say this went from a 4 to a 12, right. and it's not going to, but say you lost all your friends, you know who you get to still come home to? Us.
Right.
And your cousins and your grandparents and all of this. And that's worst case scenario, which isn't that bad of a scenario.
Right. That's a great, I think that's a great thing to say to a child, especially as they're growing up and figuring things out. Then you get in your head, maybe you did too, with, it's like, well, why is this kid bullying my kid? Well, maybe his home life sucks.
And I'll
and then I feel bad for the kid, but I don't want to feel bad for the kid because he's making my kid's life hell.
I will say that is another thing that I say to my daughter. I go, listen, usually when somebody's acting like this, that means they're unhappy on the inside.
Right.
And we don't know what's going on with them.
Right.
So let's try to take a moment to think about maybe what's making them act like this is maybe something else is happening where they're not feeling good about themselves, or maybe someone's not treating them well.
That's what I, and while that might be hard to understand in the moment when they're throwing food at you, you know, understand he's throwing food in because at home, maybe he's getting hit around. Like you don't know.
You don't know.
So
yeah,
it's rough.
Yeah.
But it's rough. It's still rough water. That doesn't make it better.
I want you to brag about something that you are particularly good at in your life. What is something that pops to your mind when I go, Jimmy, what are you great at?
Do you want the funny answer?
Either way.
Well, the thing that I'm really great at, I discover, is I could guide a car into an automatic car wash like nobody's business. I'm able to line my tire up with that thing every single time. I'm never getting the movie or steered left or right. I'm able to get it right down the center.
I feel
fuck you. I'm great at that.
Slow clap for
I'm also, if I may, I'm very proud of my podcast.
Yes.
But I am, and you alluded to this earlier, I'm a great game show host.
Yes, you are.
I am a great game show host, and I'm proud of that. I love hosting game shows. There are things I'm not good at in this business, but damn it, I'm great at that.
You are. And I will vouch for that. And as you know, complimenting you feels uncomfortable.
I know it does.
It doesn't feel right. You are, and you should have a game show, and it's what you're meant to be. Can I just 1 second go back to the other brag?
Yeah.
I feel like when I go to the car wash, they take my car and they lead it in.
Yeah, more often than not now, I will go to the automatic one to save 40 minutes of my life.
Oh, this is the one where you drive yourself through.
Yeah.
Where do you even find those? I wanted to take my daughter to one.
They're popping up more often.
Okay, because I wanted to take my daughter through one because I thought she'd find it fun.
I could tell you that Oliver did not find them fun the first few times. He found it a little scary.
How old was he?
I don't know, 17? No, he was, I don't know. Yeah, you're right, 4, 5.
Okay, my daughter's 10. If she finds that scary, she needs to stop being such a pussy. And this is something we need to get into.
Is that how you would talk to her? If she?
It's not how I would talk to her. It is how I talk here.
Yeah, but she loves the show. She's going to listen.
My poor daughter's never been able to see or hear anything I've ever done.
Right. It's offensive and off-putting what you do.
Exactly. Now, something that you think that you'd like to work on.
Oh,
let's go to the other side.
Something I'd like to work on?
Yeah. Something that, and it could be funny. It could be not something serious.
Well, look, this is a silly answer.
Yeah.
But I often brag that there's nothing I love more than fantasy baseball that I'm horrible at. Like, I'm not good. I don't win.
Okay.
But I love it. And if I don't know, I used to win, but I don't anymore.
What's happened?
Yeah, you know what, to bore you, when you used to have to look at stats.
Oh, God, I already don't care.
You're right.
You started and I was like, everything in my body just went, don't care.
But you
don't
asked.
Care. I know.
And I knew that you don't care.
Jimmy, thank you so much for coming and doing our podcast.
My pleasure.
It is a delight to see you. And is there anything you would like to plug?
Just my Never Enough Funny podcast.
Okay. I feel like we've done that a lot.
Yeah, I think so too. And then you can follow me, you know, of course, on Twitter like anybody else.
Yeah. We'll throw your stuff up.
I'll let you know where I stand politically with the occasional joke.
Thank you for giving us a heads up.
Well, you know, I get some heat that, hey, couldn't hurt you to have some more jokes on there and not just tear it on our president.
Fair enough.
You know, nope.
All right, fair enough. Thanks for coming.
My pleasure.
Bye.
Bye.
Tony, I'm excited for this.
What are we going to do?
Okay, so you know how right before the holidays, I asked listeners to call in as my Christmas gift and say their name and how they say buttholes.
Mm-hmm. Tis the season.
No, tis the season.
Twas the season.
I was going to say twas the season. Nothing has delighted me more than listening to these voicemails. I've listened to them all. It gives me an unhealthy sense of laughter and pride and love and solidarity hearing grown people call in and do this just to be silly.
Yeah.
And it just makes me happy because I know it means people are just sort of being loose and enjoying themselves and the whole point of the podcast.
Yeah.
It's been an absolute delight. So we can't obviously air them all because it would take too long, but we have put together a compilation of our fans and their buttholes. And I'm so excited. Wasn't it fun to listen to them?
I've never enjoyed something more.
It really is just a really ridiculous, ridiculous, silly thing that makes me laugh. So everybody, as we end the podcast, this episode, enjoy our fans and their buttholes.
Hi, guys. I'm listening to the Paul Rudd episode. And so I wanted to call and give you my soundbite as my Christmas gift to you. My name is Mary Kay Holmes, and this is how I say a buttholes.
This is the angle, and this is how we say buttholes.
Buttholes. Hi there. My name is Heather, and this is how I say buttholes.
Hi, I'm Levi Owensby. This is how I say buttholes.
Hi, my name's Olivia Hamilton, and this is how I say buttholes.
Hi, Andrea. My name is Misty, and I live in Central Illinois, which is super boring, and I love your podcast, and I love I'm Sorry, and this is how a 35-year-old woman, a mom, says buttholes.
My name is Lauren, and here is how I say buttholes. Merry Christmas!
My name is Scooby Meredith, and this is how I say buttholes. Thanks. Bye.
My name is Ray Holly, and this is how I say buttholes.
Hashtag hi, my name is Lydia Meredith, and this is how I say buttholes. Okay, I love you so much. Bye.
Hi, Andrea Savage. This is Ellie Weaver. I'm sorry. Hold on. Scratch that. Let me restart. Hi, Andrea Savage. My name is Ellie Weaver, and this is how I say buttholes.
Hi, this is Heath Hamilton, and I want to talk about the way I know to say buttholes. It's actually not me, it's my dad. I grew up in southern Indiana where basically everything is pronounced strange, and he pronounced buttholes butt-ho. And if you were being bad as a kid, he would refer to you as being butt-hoey. So enjoy that.
Hi, my name is Kat Jones, and this is the way that I say buttholes.
My name is Brandon Levitt, and this is how I say buttholes. Did I do that right?
Hey, Andrea, and hi, Tony. This is the first time that I will ever say this word in public. My name is Jenny.
My name is Jeffrey, and this is how we say buttholes.
Happy holidays.
Hi, I'm Emily, and this is how I say buttholes.
Hello, Andrea and Tony. This is Bill Soute from Trumbull, Connecticut, and this is how I say, buttholes.
Hey, Andrea. It's New Year's Eve, and I just want to say you are the shit. Love your show. Love your podcast. I am a mother of one and two margaritas in, so time to go to sleep at 9:30, but I heard you were asking people to call in to say your favorite words. So my name is Kate, and this is how I say buttholes. Love ya. Bye, bitch.